Hello and welcome to the Gadget Show podcast. I'm Susie Perry.
And I'm Jason Bradbury with a big thanks to CEX for sponsoring this episode.
CEX makes upgrading tech much simpler and way more affordable.
Trade in the tech you're done with and turn it straight into cash or credit.
Phones, tablets, consoles, games, cameras.
All properly refurbished. Fully tested
and covered by a 5-year warranty.
Head to WeBuy.com or your local CEX store to get started.
Hello, welcome to the Gadget Show podcast, the inbox edition. This is the episode where your questions take control.
Right then, let's jump straight in, Susie, with Ben Carter, who asks, does using private browsing or incognito mode really make you anonymous online? Well, this is one of the biggest tech myths going. Okay, incognito mode sounds like you've suddenly turned into some sort of, you know, digital super spy, right? But really, all it does is stop your browser saving your history or your cookies or logins during that browsing session.
Yeah, so basically it's just hiding what you're doing from somebody else who might pick up your phone or your laptop. It's not hiding what you're doing from the internet itself.
Yeah, exactly. Your internet provider can still see what you're doing. And websites can still track you, meaning advertisers can still collect your data. So you're not suddenly invisible.
No, I think it's a bit like when you wear sunglasses and you think that nobody can see you. It's the same
That's sort of true, isn't it?
A
great analogy. Useful for privacy, maybe, on your own device or a shared device, but not proper online anonymity. And so what I would do is I would ally that with a VPN, a virtual private network. That's actually the solution I would go for, I think. But let's be honest, if for example, you know, if an intelligence agency wants your data, then they're gonna get it. but incognito mode paired with a VPN does offer, I think, the sort of anonymity that you're after when you're browsing.
Which takes us into the next question, actually, from James Thompson.
Okay.
Who says, how do VPNs actually work and what's the point? I see so many being advertised these days. And you're right, James, they are. They are advertising all the time. And obviously we can sort of click back to the previous question there for that sort of elements of secrecy. But, you know, the adverts are everywhere and they make it sound like without one, you're basically broadcasting your life to the world, don't they? So in simple terms, a VPN creates a secure, encrypted connection between your device and the internet, and it routes your traffic through a server somewhere else, basically.
I mean, I would say what's important here is, in context, is not all VPNs are the same.
Yeah.
Some VPNs keep your data locally, all right? Other VPNs delete your data and never keep any record of anything that you surf, all right? Okay, but back to the point in terms of how they work. So all I'm saying is do your research if you want a VPN. They're not all exactly the same. Mm. But they all do the following, all right? That they enable the website that you're going to not see your real IP address or real geographical location. What they see is whatever VPN server you've chosen. So with VPNs, you get to choose a location. It could be Italy or France or America.
Yeah.
That's why you can log into streaming services as if you're in America and maybe watch an American TV series that you can't get on that streaming service over in the UK because the internet site thinks you're in, say, America.
Yeah.
They're really good as well because of that for public Wi-Fi, because often people are, you know, hackers, people that can get value from your data illicitly can sniff your data and sniff access to your phone, connect your phone in public Wi-Fi environments, right? They're also great for, you know, using public Wi-Fi in hotels or cafes and stuff, because often those are vulnerable places in terms of people connecting to your phone and stealing your data. Sometimes
in
they'll
fact,
just...
Yeah, sorry to jump in. I would say don't use public Wi-Fi. I feel like you're kind of...
Yeah, you are opening yourself up to being sniffed. But they're not a magic cloak of invisibility. I think this is an important point to make. You can still be tracked in other ways, right? And some VPNs, as I said earlier, they're not all created equally, will sell your data. So have a look around the market. But I think they can be very effective. Also, Susie, I think it's about privacy. I think privacy, it's fair to say, is under threat at the moment. And... I think it's a VPN is an important way of keeping what you do online with you and not sharing it with a government agency or whatever.
Yes, exactly. So I think, you know, what in the terms of the question that was asked, what are they for? I think, you know, elements of security and privacy, they're not a magic cloak, but they definitely give you elements of that. So yeah. Definitely do your research. They're not the miracle that some adverts make out, but, you know, I think we both use them for those two specific reasons.
And so. Anonymity and great content from, you know, Netflix and Amazon and whatever, whatever, YouTube, or not YouTube, but, you know, streaming services that have series that you can't get in the UK. It's a really great way of looking at cool stuff.
Here's one from Tom Wilson that I think is aimed for you, really. Does input lag on TVs really matter for casual gaming?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Of course it does. It's like, it doesn't matter whether you're a casual gamer or a pro esport player. The game was designed and is intended for a quick response, meaning when you hit jump or fire or dodge, you know, that it happens as the game designer intended. It's a bit like saying, does it matter if when I watch a movie on a streaming service, it's only in 720p, right? You could say, well, no, it doesn't matter, but is it better in 4K? Yeah. And so while I'm not being a snob, I mean, I wouldn't say go and, you know, buy a new TV, that thing, you can't possibly game on that. I'm not saying that because obviously there is a price to this, meaning that, for example, if you want the best gaming experience on a modern flat screen television, you're going to have to pay a bit more and get one that's capable of at least sort of 120 hertz to really get that instant, you know, 10 millisecond response, right? But yeah, it does matter. I mean, I think it does matter. And I think casual gaming is the best kind of gaming. But it's like if you've got a bike, you've got an old bike, it's really rusty and it's got a bit of a lump and it goes up and down when you drive. Can you do that for 5 hours? Five hours down a country lane? No, it'd drive you insane. But you're not a pro cyclist. You just, your bike don't work. Like you've got, this has got to work. Like it's gaming. It needs, okay, but you need to have an instant response.
Listen, if it's milliseconds, right, which it is, I get it if you're pro gamer, if you're really like serious gamer. But honestly, like casual gaming on your sofa after work, are you going to notice it? Really? Yeah. Are you?
Yeah. This is the gadget show.
Okay.
It ain't bloody this morning, is it? Like I ain't Eamon Holmes. It's even on that show anymore.
He's been on it for years.
It bloody matters. Yeah. Sort it out, bro. Sell your telly and get another one.
Okay.
Go on to TikTok. There's some really good live sales of TVs on that show. And you can ask them and you can say to them, what's the, you know, is there a gamer TV? And they'll say, yeah. And they make TVs. In case you don't know, just to be respectful, some TVs are made for gaming, so not just for gaming. Obviously, they're made to watch television and movies,
yeah,
and Netflix.
Yeah, but the processing is video.
Yeah, yeah. Better. But they have a gamer mode, all right, and that means that the input is quick, and that's really, if that's what you're talking about. And of course, what you meant by the, I mean, that's what I think the phrasing of your question refers to. If you mean actually gaming on a TV because you can game on, say, fire TVs or fire sticks and things like that, then I don't know, that's to do with Bluetooth and it's a whole unrelated thing. I think what you're talking about is the response rate of your screen, right? Yeah. Which needs to be, for me, between 10 and 20 milliseconds. Right, if you haven't heard yet, where have you been? The Gadget Show competition is back and this one is big.
Very big. We're talking a whopping £5,000 to spend at CEX, all on whatever tech you want.
That's £5,000 to blow on gadgets, old or new. So let's do a roll call of what you could actually get.
You could walk away with a top-end iPhone or flagship Android smartphone.
A PlayStation 5, an Xbox, a Switch 2, a powerful gaming PC or a sleek laptop.
The latest iPad, a top-spec DSLR camera, lenses and filming kit.
You can even kick off a retro gaming collection with some classic consoles and loads of games.
A smartwatch, some headphones or earbuds and speakers.
A VR headset, streaming gear, controllers and accessories.
Basically, whatever tech you've been dreaming about, you could buy it.
All you've got to do is head over to patreon.com/thegadgetshow and join one of our paid tiers, which start from as little as the price of a cup of coffee. We've got three tiers, light, mid and max, and depending on which tier you're on, you'll get more entries into the competition.
So the light tier gets you one entry, the mid tier gets you three entries, and the max tier gets you five entries, giving you obviously the best chance of winning.
Once you've chosen your tier, you'll need to direct message the answer to this multiple choice question. In what year did The Gadget Show first air on TV? Was it A, 2002, B, 2004, C, 2006, or D, 2007? And remember, being a paid member doesn't just get you into the competition.
Yeah, you'll also unlock ad-free listening, early access to episodes and exclusive bonus episodes. And for the first time, we're offering the complete archive of Gadget Show episodes. Yes, that's over 20 years and nearly 500 episodes of gadgety goodness just for our max subscribers.
Epic. So if you fancy supporting the podcast, getting loads of extra content and having a chance to win £5,000 to spend at CEX, head to patreon.com/thegadgetshow and get subscribed.
For full terms and conditions, please visit the link via this episode. Right. Here's a question from Mark Hughes.
Yeah.
Who says, would you sacrifice thinness for a phone with a massive battery that lasts for days? Right, now this is a good question, Mark, because everybody moans about charging the phone and the battery and the life of the battery, but manufacturers keep on making phones that are thinner and thinner. So would I have a chunkier phone if I'm in, it didn't have to charge it every night? Personally, no, I wouldn't.
I'm really pleased you said that, because I was thinking, no.
I want a skinny phone.
But it's like this jacket. Right? It's hardly practical. It's not warm. Right? If it goes near a flame, it melts. But damn, it looked good. So, I'll go out in the jacket. I'm a little bit chilly, but I like it. My phone is similar. I mean, it's got to have a certain level of functionality. If it only lasted an hour, yeah, it'd be a problem. But no, I can charge it at night practically, can't you? Like once a day, I charge it.
Yeah, I will be honest, right? I do get annoyed when the battery naturally starts to fade and halfway through the day you're on 50% and you've hardly done anything, and I think, come on, stop turning my battery down. I mean, that does piss me right off.
Yeah,
that,
you do get...
That's my moan on batteries, because obviously they do, you know, they do fade, they do deteriorate. I mean, I've replaced the battery. I bought a new battery for my phone to sort of extend the life of my phone. But even now, a year later, it's starting to do
Is
that
really?
Middle of the day thing. Yeah, yeah. It's annoying.
No, I think
I don't want a chunky phone. I'm not having that.
No, if it can last, from 8 till 10, then it's all right. If it drops below that, then your chunky phone maybe has more of an in.
But I think some people don't mind a chunky phone. This is why it's an interesting question, because, you know, some people don't. I put my phone a lot in my pocket. So that's why I don't want a chunky phone. But I think if you put it in a bag or something, it probably doesn't really matter that much.
The super thin iPhone hasn't sold very well. So that's interesting, isn't it? There is a kind of finite thinness that people are.
Yeah, but do you know what? I think people say they want a bigger battery. Nobody says they want a bigger battery. They say they want a battery to last longer. So, but when they see the thicker phone, they're like, oh, nah.
It's like your nan's shoes, isn't it? You know, like, because my nan had one leg shorter than the other, and it's like it was built up. It didn't look as good as the other one.
And she also did sort of go around in circles quite a lot, didn't she, Anna?
She did, bless her.
Let's have another question from, this one is from Ryan Thompson. What do you think will be the best-selling gadget this year?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what is normally the best-selling gadget, let alone this year. I mean, I've no idea.
I'll tell you what I think it's going to be if it gets launched. Apple's foldable phone. I think it'll dominate. If it gets launched this year... I think that's going to be the biggest seller.
So, again, I've learned to not argue with you about the foldable phone. But the thing is, okay, so no question, if that comes out and it does half of what they promise, and
at least knows, half would be good.
But no, I get your instinct. But what I'm saying is, but does that sell more than, say, a washing machine? Do you know what I mean? Like what actually is...
Yeah,
the best-selling gadget.
Let's go
normally,
consumer gadgets that we, you know, like...
That we would review on this show, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, it's not going to be something super like sexy, exciting, like the fighting robots that you were talking about. It's going to be something mainstream, isn't it?
Okay. Grand Theft Auto 6 is not a gadget, but it is something that we review on the Gadget Show, and that's going to break records this year. So not exactly what you're asking, but hopefully you can accept that as my answer.
That's his answer, so you have to accept it.
It's a lump it. Any more?
Yeah, there's one from Tom Arnold. Do you want that one?
Yes, please.
Tom says, I've got a huge VHS collection tucked away in my loft. I bet lots of people have, actually, but haven't got a player anymore. So I'd love to visit some of those tapes for a bit of nostalgia. I really like...
keeping the old VHS. I mean, who would keep VHSs? I mean, what's the point?
He says, I really liked the We Are Rewind cassette player that you featured in your Christmas episode, which I love. I've got the orange one at home, burnt orange. It's smashing. It's my favourite gadget of the moment. It's a modern take on old tech. But he says he can't find anything similar for VHS. Are there any new VHS players being made today? Yeah. Or is my only option to hunt down a second-hand one from the 90s?
Okay, hold it there. 2 seconds. You've really got me going. Is it Tom, is it?
Yeah, it's Tom Arnold. So, he's got two first names.
So this, I bought this recently from a local electrical store. For those of you listening, I'm holding up a Panasonic video, a VHS player. I've also got a Panasonic CRT, a little portable telly as well.
So if you are diving back into your loft at your VHS collection, you know, a good idea is to go and buy a secondhand or a refurbished VCR, you know, from the like late 90s, early noughties. They're quite easy to find, charity shops and online and things like that.
100%.
You might need an adapter to hook it up to your modern telly, but that's all very doable.
You can do that.
What about something... because there should be something like We Are Rewind, shouldn't there? There should be a modern comeback VHS player. Have you got any knowledge of anything?
Of course. Obviously. I mean, you know, this is my era. I'm so grateful, Tom, for having an opportunity to talk about Retrobox. All right. And I saw them on Instagram and I jumped in. Retrobox.us. And it's a new startup made from... scratch in 2026 is what they say on their website. Can play VHS tapes, new and old. It's got a CRT emulator, right? So the screen inside it is clearly a modern screen, but it looks just like an old portable telly with a built-in VHS player. And the CRT emulator will make sure that the screen has the look and feel of a cathode ray tube. So it'll be sort of warped, I'm guessing, and have some sort of visual assets.
Yeah.
Like noisy picture and things like that. Inputs, both modern and classic. HDMI out and in. Audio-visual connectors, which I'm guessing means kind of phono things. S-video. And a bunch of colours. It comes in a range of colours. That was the thing that I was really excited by. You can get a bright red one, and I think there's a yellow one. And yeah. And so what they're asking for is for your email address, and then they'll inform you when they might be ready to ship. But this is happening, and I am here for it. And so is Tom, by the sounds of it.
Well, that's really fascinating. My only thing, I'm just going to premise, because it's coming from America, could it be expensive to ship? Could there be some tax on that? I'm just wondering, maybe.
Yeah, how interesting the way that you think about these things.
I know, in a
practical
way.
Who cares?
I care because
mention price?
No, but listen, sometimes I buy things on different websites like Etsy and stuff like that. It's not techie, but this is the same. And you don't realise, you don't do look at all the small print. And it's coming from flipping Holland. And then you end up paying £300 in tax. So
well,
I'm
how
just
much
saying...
would you pay? How much would you pay for a TV about this big?
Yeah.
With a built-in VHS player. If you're Tom or me, and I don't know that you necessarily want to have VHSs, but clearly I do.
But the thing is, I have got a We Are Rewind for my tape, so I am the person. Well, I probably honestly would go online and get an old one.
Saying 500 is what I'd pay, 499. And then if Trump whacks a tariff on it, because, you know, what day of the week is it? Which pair of socks am I putting on? Is that's Trump's sort of, you know, will I drop a tariff today? Maybe. I'd be prepared to even, if I found out it was going to cost me 100 quid to get it here, I'd just pay it.
Yeah,
and I'm not wealthy.
100 quid, that's okay.
But I just feel, but if it was 1,000, okay, now I'm not so enthusiastic. So Tom, talk about, I mean, wow, what a great question. I've got more VHSs down there. And I intend to buy more. I want to buy all the movies from the 80s back on VHS. My plan.
Get on the list, Tom. Get on the list and monitor what happens with the new idea. But go to a charity shop and get an old one so you can start watching them now.
I think Susie's got a good point there.
Right, it's tech quiz time, and it's time to put you in the hot seat this week, my friend Jason. I want you to name the top 10 most profitable tech companies in the world, ranked from the biggest profit to the smallest. So I'm going to give you the companies. You're going to tell me where they sit in the top 10. Here's your first one, Amazon.
Third.
They sit fifth, right in the
middle. Oh, not bad.
Yeah, not bad. Pretty close there. $77 billion profit. The retail barely makes a profit, but AWS Cloud, Amazon's cloud computing arm, renting out computing power and storage, blah, blah, blah. They make the profit. Okay, here's your next one. NVIDIA.
Wow, great
question.
Special
one for you.
So here's the thing, right? Are you calculating it based on, say, their 2025 profits? Do you know what I mean? Like, when are we taking this? Because...
Yeah, it's within the last 12 months.
Wow.
So Amazon, $77 billion, and they were sitting fifth.
I'll tell you my thinking, right? Because they are supplying the backbone of the race towards AI, and because the last 12 months and the 12 months before that have been, you know, so critical for AI and the purchasing of hardware... that drives it all, that they're definitely, let's put it this way, they're definitely doing well. There's no question. But how well, you know, in relative terms to, say, some of the other big names that always do well, some of the more, let's say, legacy brands within the tech scene.
Well, this is it. This is what you've got to do. Are you putting them high? Are you going higher, lower?
Second.
Or you've got a bit high there. They actually sit fourth with $99 billion. In the last 12 months. Unbelievable that is, isn't it?
Yeah.
So obviously originally a graphics card maker, now the world's leading AI supplier, as you rightly said there. Extremely high earnings boosted by AI. There we go.
Wow.
Okay, what about Samsung? Where are they?
Seventh.
Close.
Oh.
Eighth.
Come on.
With $30 billion. Dominant memory chip maker plus phones and displays.
Yeah.
One of the biggest hardware earners. How about Adobe?
Ninth.
Tenth? I thought you'd have got 10.
Yeah.
They're 10.
Not bad, though. I'm doing quite well on the
dartboard.
It would look good, wouldn't it?
You're in the right ballpark. $10 billion they made last year. Okay. What about Meta?
They've not been doing so well. And the reason is that a lot of their profits come from advertising.
Yeah.
And that's falling off. What about sixth?
Yes!
Yes!
Meta are sixth with $60 billion profit. And you rightly said, from targeted advertising on their social platforms. What about TSMC, which stands for Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company?
It could be, you know, the central pawn in a land grab from China.
Yeah.
So,
well, they're the largest contract chip maker for Apple, AMD, Nvidia, and others. So
everybody,
you know, yeah, there you go. That's who they are.
But again, very, very difficult to judge in a relative sense of the profits that that produces compared to, say, a software provider. You know, ninth,
seventh,
okay,
with $50 billion, Broadcom. They design chips for networking, storage, and mobile, plus an enterprise software business.
Nine.
So, yes, correct. Up $23 billion. And we're into the top three. Where are you putting Microsoft?
Well, I know who number one is.
Obviously, software and cloud titan with huge earnings from Azure, Office, and enterprise services.
Wow, is it one, two, or three? It's not one, it's two or three. Two.
Three.
Oh, come on.
$105 billion in third place.
Wow.
Okay, so we've got two to go.
Yeah.
Okay, so where are you putting Apple?
Two.
Yeah, obviously phones that deliver enormous margins. Yes, that is $130 billion. 60% of their profit comes from the iPhone, which means at number one is...
Google.
Yeah, it's Alphabet. So Alphabet is the parent of Google and YouTube, dominating global search, digital advertising. In net income, the highest amongst tech firms, thanks to a massive ad revenue and cloud growth. And Alphabet are number one with $150 billion last year. You did really well.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you.
How did you do at home? Were you kind of there in the ballpark? These are quite fun to do, aren't they?
Really fun to do. Yeah, let us know in Patreon. Can we message each other in Patreon? We can, can't we? You can message me. I'm one of the Patreon members. In fact, I should get a shout out on there. You can say hello to us. Let us know what you think of that. I really enjoy it. I hope it's as fun for you as it is for us.
And that is a wrap for this week's Inbox Edition. Thank you for all of your messages. Please keep them coming.
Absolutely, keep them coming our way. We want to hear all your tech disasters, mishaps, terrible purchases, and everything in between. Drop us a message on socials, or you can email us on contact@northone.tv. And I do think that you can message us directly as well in Patreon if you're one of our Patreon gang.
And a huge thank you to CEX for backing the podcast. If you're after a bargain upgrade, hunting down a retro classic, or you want to turn that drawer of forgotten tech into cash or credit, head to webuy.com or pop into a store near you. There's 400 across the UK. And remember, everything comes with a 5-year warranty.
And of course, if you haven't already, hit follow and subscribe. This is really important. We don't often make enough of this. It's so helpful if you... give us a like, give us a follow on whatever platform you're listening to the podcast on. The main Gadget Show podcast continues every week with fresh gadgets and the usual mayhem from you lovely lot. But a subscribe means an awful lot. That's it. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
The Gadget Show podcast with Jason and Susie was presented by Jason Bradbury and Susie Perry off the telly. It was produced by Ewan Keel and Tom Clint and is a North One production.